Network, hello, it's Adam again. This episode of the Pilot Network podcast, we are joined by TPN volunteer and overall good dude, Shaz Wadhani. Shaz joined us at TPNX and then decided to take it up a notch and go volunteer for the Professional Asian Pilots Association conference in Vegas. And he has seen a lot from just his two volunteer opportunities so far, and it's grown into much more. We'll get into that in the podcast. He is a young pilot in this industry, coming up and gaining those hours, moving up the ranks so he can get to where he wants to be. And he realized that networking takes on a whole different sphere of influence for yourself as you grow. He has shown me personally that, yeah, it's awesome to have your hours and all the boxes checked. I knew that already from the years of doing all this stuff, but how the networking that he's doing by volunteering, getting to meet people, having social interactions outside of just volunteering, being at the volunteer booth or being at the booth doing the volunteer work, has taken him in a whole new direction. He's gotten to interact with people he never thought he would interact with at this point of his career. And I could see big things for him and being able to jump ahead of the line, as it were, because of those kind of contacts he's made and showing what kind of work ethic and drive he has to work for these organizations like TPN and PAPA and go out and take advantage of that. We also get into a lot of conversation regarding what PAPA is. They're kind of the new kid on the block, one of the new kids on the block as far as nonprofit organizations go. And in this month, we're taking a look at some of the gratitude that we have as just TPN members, how we constantly say, let's pay it forward, let's bring the next generation of pilots along in a way that we didn't have to go through, which was kind of dart throw and guess and try to pick information from each individual person that was out there. More of a conglomeration of knowledge and a huge pool to be able to gather that information from, so you can move faster in your career and get to where you want to be, so you can do the stuff that you truly love outside of your work in aviation, whatever that might be, whether it's family, hobbies, side hustles, the list goes on and on and on. The big thing we love to do, though, is always pay it forward, and we were lucky enough to be joined by PAPA and some of their representatives down at TPNX. We're hoping that they're going to join us again at TPNX in April 2024. And we hope that we have volunteers like Shaz come back and join us, as well as the volunteers we had and more of you out there. If you have any interest in that, go to thepilotnetwork.com and click on the TPNX tab. Take a look, see if it's for you. Anyways, enough from me. Let's get on with the conversation with Shaz all about PAPA. Shaz, good to see you again, man. It's been what? 5 months, 6 months almost since we were last in person at TPNX together. Shaz was one of our awesome volunteers. Got to get to know him. He's really a young, vibrant, and dedicated young aviation professional who has given a lot of time to TPN, amongst other things. He also became a volunteer for PAPA, and that is the Professional Asian Pilot Association. And I always mess that one up. I want to flip the P's. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. So Shaz and I got to meet and start talking a little bit. I said, dude, we just kept in contact. And I was like, come on the podcast. And he said, I said, well, you know, let's get somebody from PAPA on the podcast. He goes, well, you know, I'll see if one of the like head honchos can. I'm like, no, man, you're good. If that's cool with them, come on. And sure enough, he moves up to almost to a head honcho now. And he's got a lot to share with us, not only about PAPA, but his journey through aviation. And I just want to thank you for coming on, man, and spend a little time telling people about the organization and your journey so far, because you're on the other end from a lot of guys who listen to this, and yeah. And you can give them some insight what's happening on a different end of the spectrum, and maybe get some insights from those guys when they get a chance to meet you. So where are you at right now in your aviation journey? How'd you get started in it?
All right. So I started basically, I was always in love with aviation when I was a kid. It's something I think everybody knew I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do. My parents, you know, coming from an Asian background, we always get that stereotype where it's like, hey, we need you to be like a lawyer, doctor, engineer, because when they were growing up, those are really only the jobs that gave you a secure financial life. So they're really just looking out and trying to see that, hey, can you support yourself and can you have the life that we want you to have? And I was just always like, I just want to fly planes. Like, planes are the coolest thing ever. Like, I remember I would be drawing pictures of planes in the classroom instead of listening to the teacher, and I'd put them all over my room and stuff. So everyone's known that that's all I wanted to do. And then I finally got that chance when I went to Purdue for college. We had an airport on the campus, so they made it really easy to just go in and do my flight training. I did it all at the, not through the university program, but through a separate FBO that was on the same airport. Got all my ratings done through COVID, actually. That kind of ended up working in my favor because the airport was kind of deserted. So I remember I did instrument maybe 3 months, commercial in like another 3 months. So it was pretty quick. 2019 is when I started. And 2021, tower was closed from like, they didn't even open till like 11 in the morning. I remember my commercial check ride. It was so strange. Like, you just, we went out, we did all the approaches and everything. The time we landed, and they're like, okay, tower's opening now. I'm like, I just went out, did a whole check ride. And now they're coming to work. So it was bizarre. But yeah, I got everything done. 2021 spring was when I finished my CFI, immediately did my double I right after while waiting to get hired. I worked for the university and the FBO for a bit. So I kind of had two jobs while finishing my degree. So definitely was stretched pretty thin, but I was doing all right for myself. I graduated with around 700 hours of flight time. So after that, moved back home, instructed back there in California where the weather is always good and I don't have to deal with Midwest winters. As sure, you guys from Midwest know February and does not mix with any sort of flight training because it's always IMC and it's always freezing. So
doesn't mix with much, yeah. Except for maybe skiing, and even then it gets a little cold.
Yeah. But yeah, I went to California, was able to average pretty good, probably about 90 hours a month. So I was done with my CFIing, I think winter of 2022. That's when I hit that 1500 mark. A lot of my friends, they only had to get to 1000 because they went through the university, and I actually got to 1500 faster than some of them, even made it to 750. So I was pretty proud of myself for that, but I did get pretty burned out. That is no joke when it comes to, you know, you're working probably 12 hours a day, flying 8 hours a day, you know, dealing with students, dealing with broken planes. It can take a pretty big toll on you. So I think moving home was the best thing I did for that because I didn't really have to take care of myself. So that took out a lot of the, you know, oh my God, I just worked, you know, 10 hours today. It's like 10 at night. I got to wake up again. Now I got to make dinner. Like, I don't have the energy for this anymore. But you know, when I was at home, oh, hey, dinner's ready. Okay. I'm going to go to sleep now. They're like, all right, we'll have breakfast ready in the morning. So
yeah,
that helped a lot with the burnout.
Yeah. Moms and dads can come through sometime.
Oh yeah.
In the clutch. Not sometimes, all the time.
They're your biggest cheerleaders, man. They've always supported me. Extremely thankful for that. Wouldn't have been able to do it without them. Yeah, so I hit 15, and then it was kind of a weird time for the regionals because this was after they raised all the pay to like $90 an hour, and then they immediately stopped hiring FOs everywhere. So that was interesting to see. You know, I wanted to go to like Envoy, Republic, and then they're all like, so here's your offer, but we don't have a class date for you. And we don't know when we'll have a class date. So I was like, okay, you know, what else is out there? And then I saw Silver. Funny enough, I saw an ad for it on TikTok, of all places. And I was like, hey, wait, this is a 121 airline? I'm like, okay, why not throw my hat in the ring there? Interviewed there, got an offer, and they was like, can you start in February? I was like, yeah, sure. No one else has offered me anything. So I went. And we went to ground school, started doing all that, and they were like, so we only have like one sim or two sims. They got one in Houston and one in Miami, Airbus in Miami. And they're like, so we've got a bit of a backup. So it's going to be a couple months after ground. And they were predicting about July to come back for sim. So I was like, all right, that's fine. Like, I've got my flight benefits, I've got my KCM, I'm getting paid. I can just, spend some time with family, go travel a bit, go out and, go to some conferences, some recruiting events. And, that's where I met you at TPNX. That's how I started getting involved with PAPA and all these other organizations. Started to kind of find, the other side to aviation that's outside of flying, the making a difference in people's lives, getting involved with the community, being a part of something that's bigger than yourself. And I think that was a really important sim to, like, I'm honestly really thankful that it happened, because I had a lot of growth during that period. I didn't just sit around and do nothing, which, you always got to take advantage of a crappy situation that might seem crappy in the beginning, but at the end I was like, man, this was the best thing that ever happened to me. And then went back to Sims in July. Everything was smooth. Training was great. Got through Sims, no issues, nothing. Had my type rating in August, IOE in mid-August, and now I'm flying the line.
I heard this. Oh man, maybe. Oh, I think maybe I read it, and I can't remember where. But a perspective shift for all of you out there who are in that a tumultuous time in aviation, whether it's contract negotiations, whether you're leaving the military, you don't have a job yet, or you're at a place that you don't really want to be at, or you're stuck waiting for something. I some guys love that, some guys hate it. Some people want all the time off in the world, and other people want to get at it and keep moving, like, 'cause you're trying to move the ball down the field. Like, you have things that you want to do in your career. I heard this and I immediately started applying it. Hell, I even apply it when I play golf. It's a perspective shift. Maybe this is bad, but maybe it's great. I don't know until after whatever happens next. I don't know yet. I would say that my career has been nothing but maybes. When I left pilot training, I got the KC-135. I was so disappointed and sad. Oh man, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Maybe it wasn't. And I've met some of my best friends. I've gotten connected in a lot of ways that I wouldn't have otherwise. I get it. I probably would have had a lot of that opportunity in other Air Force platforms, but the reality is I got to fly in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, my hometown, in the KC-135. I would have never gotten that opportunity had I not explored, or had I not taken the KC-135 with a different perspective, saying, holy cow, I've got these opportunities that are pouring in, just like you did. You got out there, you went and you saw the other side of aviation. And one of the coolest parts about seeing the other side of aviation is, especially for those who didn't have the squadron life in the Marines or Navy or Army or Air Force, Coast Guard as well. Don't want to leave those bubbas out. But like, when you don't have that, aviation can be a very lonely journey. I mean, look at, like, you basically said it while you're going through. You're working all day, flying as much as you can. You have no time to spend with friends, social life, dating, watching a movie with people that you like. You didn't have that kind of opportunity. And the other thing is once you start doing this stuff, a lot of your friends don't get it. They just don't understand it. Like, what, why? Okay, it's cool, you're a pilot, but that's like where it ends. And as you get older, sometimes it's hard to keep those relationships and foster the things that used to be productive about them because they don't get it. You now have met, I saw it at TPNX, and I can only imagine what you, where it's been, how it's been elsewhere. You've met a lot of people in the industry who are different age. I mean, you and I are, what, 20 plus years apart. We've met all the, you've met all these different people, and you start to see them again and again and over and over. And not only does it help professionally, it's fun in the personal aspect because you get to, it's like going back to TPNX. All it is a big, it's a big reunion after a while. Like, hey, let's sit around and chat. After we get the work out of the way, we get to have the fun, and it's even more fun when you know somebody the second time around. So when you got involved, not only, like, we could go on the TPN road, but who cares? That people listening to this probably know what it is. If they don't, thank you for finding this podcast. We're really happy that you're listening. But you got into an organization that I knew almost nothing about before 2023. I had heard of them in the end of 2022. And in 2023, I was introduced to them mainly because we wanted them to come to TPNX. How did you get involved and how did that story kind of unwind?
Yeah, so similar to you, I didn't really hear about them until I think 2022. One of my friends actually, he works for United in Network Planning in Chicago. He actually started the Purdue chapter of the Asian Pilots Association. I was like, okay, what is this? And that's how I kind of figured out what it was, because otherwise I would have had no idea. And then, let's see, I basically was like, okay, they have any, you know, recruiting events going on this summer. This will be really cool to see. And so I was like, okay, let me sign up. Let me see what it's all about. And it's basically for, you know, Asians who are underrepresented in the industry. A lot of us, you know, are in different fields, might be switching to aviation. And it's basically just a place where we can all kind of find a sense of community, and get together, get to know each other, find mentorship. And so basically the first that I joined, because I wanted to go to the big expo they have in the summer, which was right after TPNX. And I was like, oh, this would be a cool way to, you know, meet people, get involved, see what's up. So I signed up to volunteer, went down there in Vegas. It was a great time. And funny enough, a lot of the recruiters were the exact same ones that were at TPNX, and a lot of them remembered me from TPNX, and they introduced me to even more recruiters. So that just kind of started this whole pinball motion where it was like, hey, I remember you. And he's like, oh my God, it's this guy again. And I was like, hey, I want you to meet this guy. You got to talk to this guy and this guy. And then all of a sudden, you know, the entire recruiting team from Southwest, and I have no idea how that happened. But yeah, it was an amazing time to volunteer there. And, you know, that kind of was like, hey, I really like this organization. I love what they're doing. I think this is fantastic. You know, this is something for me as well, like, because, you know, I'm not a military guy, but, you know, I love TPNX. But, you know, this is like my community, like, because I'm Asian too. And I totally get where all these people come from. You know, you got the parents that want you to do something else and, you know, become a lawyer, doctor, engineer kind of thing. And they're like, what the hell is piloting? Like, why would you do that? What is the whole point of this? How do you convince, you know, your parents to let you do that? I can sympathize with that. I can relate to that. And it's just very easy to, you know, build even more connections with that and give people guidance on how to kind of navigate, you know, the ups and downs of the industry.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you hit on something there that I find to be really interesting, is the TPN being a, well, first of all, we're a for-profit entity, so that's totally different. And second piece is, it started as a group of military aviators. It really started as me trying to find out letters of recommendation and then adding military, and then it grew and kind of eventually sort of kind of. And you look at these folks from other groups of professional and non-professional aviators, and you go, well, how do we support each of these organizations? You realize you run out pretty fast that you can't, I mean, even for you, you can't go volunteer at every single expo out there. It's not possible. We realized that, hey, we can't go and support every single nonprofit. We would, it's just not possible. So we have to pick the stuff that we like. And honestly, for me, it's always been the people that I like. And when I meet somebody that I like, I'm like, hey, I want to help you out. And, you know, it's always been, it's funny, the Pilot Network's always been through networking that this stuff's worked out, where somebody knows somebody, somebody else knows somebody, and we get them to come join us. And I was excited to not only have Papa at TPNX, but when they gave us the reciprocal, hey, come to our conference, which we couldn't do, Matt and I couldn't do it. It was a bummer. So that's the other thing. When you're on the other end of it and you're only a two-person organization, you realize real fast.
Yeah, you spread pretty thin.
Yeah, pretty thin. And I so wanted to go to the conference, the expo in Vegas. One, it's been a long time since I've been to Vegas. I thought it'd be a good time to take the wife. We couldn't make it happen. Two, I saw what was going on and I was like, yes, that's my kind of thing. That looks super fun. I can totally see myself hanging out with a lot of the folks there and getting to know them. And three, the other thing is, which is not necessarily unique to your organization, but definitely something that I noticed in meeting some of the folks that came to TPNX. PAPA is a newer organization,
yep,
as opposed to the groups that are out there. They also are, they tend to skew fairly young in the people that I met. And I mean, not like young as in their early 30s. I mean, young, like they are fresh out into the aviation world. And that is invigorating for us guys who are kind of in the middle stages of our career, at the end of one career, picking up another, kind of a thing like that. And being able to, in the guise of the squadron bar, as we like to call it, or after a few cocktails, get mouthy about how bad aviation industry is. Not true, but it's our perspective and yada, yada, yada.
If you're not a pilot, you're also not complaining.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're probably not breathing. And the other thing is like, then to go back and also explain some of the pitfalls, which is what we love about TPN, but to be able to do it in person. I mean, it's one thing I love about TPNX, but to be able to do it in person to somebody who doesn't have the same background as you do, somebody who doesn't have the same, not so much path, but like you said, you were navigating a different circumstance, you know, doctor, lawyer, engineer. My parents basically wanted me to make sure I graduated high school and had a job. And to be able to have those conversations that we don't get to have on a regular basis were eye-opening. I mean, I've had them with other folks from other organizations as well. And this is why I was like, hey, I want to get all these organizations chatting with each other, because I like supporting people who are different than me. I always say, you know, I like a party where it's a lot of different people, because it makes it for a hell of a lot more fun and more interesting. So as you got involved in PAPA, I mean, because you went from, hey, I'll volunteer, to the Northwest Outreach Lead. Now, mm-hmm. that is, we were talking before recording, you currently live in the southeast portion of the United States, and you are the outreach lead for the Northwest,
yeah,
United States. How did that evolve so rapidly, number one? And number two, what are the challenges that you're facing trying to get stuff done up in Seattle or Oregon? Or you're not doing like Alaska, are you?
No, it's Oregon, Seattle, Montana, I think, got Wyoming, but most of our guys up there are Seattle, mainly Delta guys in Seattle, and SkyWest, sure, guys, Alaska guys up there.
Okay. So you're kind of working with them?
Yeah. So basically it's how it happened. It's kind of a wild story. It was at the conference. I met a guy named Rich Couture. I don't know if you've met him, but he was basically the main outreach lead. So he kind of worked with all the outreach events. He recently retired from the military. He's doing his 225 transition to Southwest now, so he'll be flying there soon. But ran into him, and he's very passionate about this, the Future and Active Pilot Advisors event. I don't know if you've heard of them, the FAPA events.
Yes, I have.
So he's really big with those. He knows the guy, Tim Gank, who runs the whole thing. So he was like, hey, we've got this event in Denver coming up, and you want to volunteer? And I was like, sure, you know, I got nothing else going on. I'm sitting at home getting paid. Might as well take a trip to Denver. I can see my uncle while I'm at it. So I went down there, and, you know, I worked the booth, talked to a bunch of, you know, and those events are really cool because you've got guys in the morning who are trying to get a job at, you know, a regional or maybe a cargo company. And, you know, they're like, hey, what the hell is PAPA? Like, what is this? And I'm like, well, you know, we do this. We got, you know, sense of community, mentorship. We're open to everyone, obviously. And like, oh, this is cool. And then, like, you know, in the afternoon, then you've got the young kids that come in. They're like, hey, what the heck is aviation? Like, how do I become a pilot? What is this? And like, you can kind of talk them through that, give them mentorship right then and there. Like, hey, you know, take a discovery flight, see if you like it, see if you like the small planes, and then this is going to be like your steps and how you get there. And like, okay, so then what is PAPA? I'm like, what do you guys do? Are you guys a flight school? Like, I got that question so many times.
Yeah.
Like, are you guys a flight school? I'm like, no, but we can help you out with that. And that's kind of how you can meet guys from the start and be like, hey, you know, if you guys need mentorship, we've got a mentorship program, we've got scholarships, we've got a sense of community. We have a big Discord group with literally everybody in it. So if you want to talk to a guy at Delta, you want to talk to a guy at UPS, you want to talk to somebody in the military right now, you want to talk to a regional captain, pretty much anyone you can think of, we've got someone in every aspect of aviation. It's like, hey, do you have a question? Hey, which regional should I go to? Should I sign this contract? Should I go 135, 121? Should I do part 141 or part 61? All those questions. We've got guys who've been there, done that, and can give people the mentorship they need to get through that. And so that's what was great about those events is that you kind of catch them in the beginning and you can set them up for success later on, which I think was fantastic. And it seemed like Rich thought the same because I ended up leading one of the FAPA events in Tampa recently. So I basically was him at the event, running the table, and that event went really well. And then after he's like, hey, so I've got a crazy idea, a crazy proposition for you. Do you want to be the Northwest regional lead? And I'm like, you do know I live in Tampa, right? And he was like, yeah, but you can do everything over the internet. You know, it's fine. You just got to organize stuff. And I was like, you know what? Why not? You know, I'm sitting on reserve. I've got time at least for the next few months. So might as well give it a shot. And good thing that I met a lot of people at the expo during the summer because I know some of those Seattle guys who fly for Delta. And I was like, hey, so which places do you recommend I should hold like a social event at or an outreach event? You know, they would organize Delta tours. Obviously, we have Delta guys, so they're, you know, those are the guys you need to know to kind of make that stuff happen. And having those connections really helps out a lot. So I don't think it'll be too bad. I'm currently working on a social in December. I asked my contact. He's like, hey, there's like this really cool, you know, indoor golf place, like putt-putt, and they've got drinks and all this, and they're really cool for like holding events, or we can do ice skating or something. Here's another cool place you can look at. And I was like, okay, this is great. Like, I don't have to do any work. I can just, you know. And that's one of the important things about being a leader, being a captain, is you got to learn to use your resources, learn to delegate, because you can't do it yourself. Like, damn, you're impossible. You're only as good as your support team. So that's an important lesson that I think I'll learn and continue to learn as I advance in this position and try to make some events happen in Seattle.
And wise beyond your years, dude. That's something that I didn't learn until much later. I thought I could do it all, and not only flying, but everything else. I rapidly learned that that is not only not true. I am the worst person who should be doing all. I'm a hell of a delegator. I've gotten even so good where I can delegate my daughters to do stuff. The 3-year-old, she's not real good at it yet, but the 6.5-year-old. After threatening to take something away, she's
There
amazing.
you go. You gotta always have leverage.
Yeah, Chaz, you have nailed it, man. If you ever go down the road of having kids, you have far more wisdom than I do at 45.
I try to learn
So,
from people who've done it before I
yeah,
do.
right. Yeah, I'm an osmotic learner. I try to sit back and watch people screw up, and then try not to screw ups. So I think one of the things that has that kind of would these were th this is part of what really drew me to you when you showed up. Your volunteerism, first of all, you were on point as a volunteer, but you were willing to do basically anything, and we continue to see that. In fact, I was about to say, you can't let this interfere. We're going to need you at TPNX next
Oh,
year.
I'll be there.
And it's exciting for me to watch our volunteers be able to flourish and go do stuff they really like and be able to pay it forward without even having really gotten to where they want to be, and knowing that they're going to get there someday and that they're already starting that process, and that there is something to giving back before you even have anything to give back. I truly believe that when you give of yourself, and you give, whether it's time, money, whatever it is that you can give, you kind of get it repaid tenfold. Maybe not right away, but it over time it's very cumulative. It's one of the reasons where, you know, I hear this from people, like, we're getting rid of a lot of our stuff that we had with babies and all that. And people are like, oh, sell it. You know, you can make money, sell it, sell it. And I'm like, one, to spend the time to sell all that stuff isn't really necessarily worth it to me when I can load it up in my truck and I can give it to the Salvation Army or whomever. And they can make good use of it, better use than I can, because they can sell it and they have this giant pool of money that they can go out and do a lot of great things with. And I think that that's what TPN, PAPA, so many different organizations, as we work together, we're going to continue to make aviation improve, not only in the challenges we face with technology gains and stuff that we're dealing with, which is definitely probably more your generation's going to be dealing with it than mine. We'll just be phased out as the old men, because by the time that all hits, I'll be the ancient guy. But the other stuff that, you know, we're dealing with stuff with the FAA and the government, the way companies interact and the way there's going to be mergers and acquisitions and bankruptcies that are going to continue. There's going to be other events throughout as the time marches on. And one of the things that our compatriots who are older than us, many retired now, didn't have is this ability to communicate. Yeah, they had ALPA or the APA or Teamsters or whatever their union was, and they may have had some ability to talk at meetings. But now we have instantaneous communications where we can share our story with one another and also rally each other to certain causes or thought patterns to better the industry. It's something that excites me a lot, and it's something that I think that there's these organizations coming together and working together. We can all be representative of our own group or whatever the case is, but when we throw away the barrier of saying, well, I'm this and you're that, and we all work together, I've already seen it just with TPN working with different groups out there, just watching the explosion of community. It's been a totally different aspect than TPN never really had a thought process to start about who is going to be in it. But now I look at it, it's like, man, this is, you don't have to be a member of one group. You can be a member of as many as you want, and you can do what you want to help out. If you just want to go to have a good time in Vegas and you like what the PAPA Expo is all about, that's fine. You can go volunteer for that. If you want to go to Minneapolis in April and be part of TPN, you can do that. And that could be the only piece that you do, or you can grow out to as much as you want. And I think that's what I want to challenge people, is to go out and give a little bit and pay it forward. That's TPN's motto. How would somebody go about getting involved in PAPA if it's at the basic level, or say, you know, one day I'm going to be the president of this organization?
Oh, yeah, of course. So joining PAPA is super easy. Our website is asianpilots.org. Really easy to type in. Basically, it is $45 a year, which is honestly not bad at all for all that you get. Basically, get access to everybody in the organization, our Discord group chat, the ability to join the volunteer team, the outreach team, join, get some scholarships if you need to pay for flight training, any sort of resources, all our socials and outreach events, any sort of industry tours or industry events that we may have. Obviously, our big expo happening next year in June. Again, it's going to be in Vegas. It's going to be a great time. Just basically, if you go to asianpilots.org, that'll give you all the information you need to join the organization, get involved.
Awesome, dude. I hope to make it in June next year. I'm going to try to plan it a little bit better so I can get out there now.
Yeah.
Being retired from the military, I may have that opportunity. But before you get to leave, we're bringing back a old, cheesy, corny segment with a slight change to it. We're going to call it the boldface. For the non-military out there, be the memory items. But boldface just has a better ring to it for this subject. So you get your one parting shot, your one thing that people should remember from this podcast, talking to Shaz, what you're going to bring to the table for all those listening out there, all the wisdom of your 4 years in aviation, or just what you've learned over, you know, recently, or something completely off the charts. So here's your chance. What's your one boldface item?
I guess it was something that actually Nick Fialka said once on his podcast that kind of really stuck with me. It's that basically anyone can fly a plane. You know, that's the basis of the job. Everyone at this level, you should be able to do it with your eyes closed, essentially. So if that's all you're doing, then you're not really, you know, having much of an impact. And the key to really having a fulfilled life, at least I feel like, is having an impact, making that difference in someone's life, being the reason that, hey, you know, this guy, you know, I taught this guy once, now he's flying for whatever airline. He made his dream come true, and I'm just glad I got to be a part of that process. You know, that feeling of happiness is just, you can't find that anywhere else. Being that, you know, difference maker in people's lives, creating opportunities, having an impact, that's really what this industry is all about. And just being that person that, you know, people can go to, like, hey, this guy helped me out, maybe he can help you out. And just being able to be there for people, that's, I think, is the beauty of, you know, we have a great job. It's a ton of fun, but we can do so much more with that and just have so much more of an impact that really only this job lets you have. Because, I mean, like you said, you can only fly maybe, you know, 50 hours a month. You can make enough to live very well. So that pretty much gives you the whole month to, you know, do other things, union work, industry work, organization work, and really make a difference, you know. And if you don't like something, change it.
I like it. I like impact. I like it. Make an impact. That's a good, make an impact. And then there, in the KC-135, it said make an impact and then dash all capital letters. I like that. That's the whole crew's responsibility. So, okay. Now that we got the boldface out of the way, where can folks get a hold of you? You can go ahead and repeat the Papa website, all that good stuff. We'll throw it in the show notes, but how can people find you if they want to reach out and get you to volunteer for more stuff, really run you through? Go ahead, lay it on us.
All right, well, I've got an Asian pilot's email now because apparently I'm a big deal. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you are a big deal.
Oh, yeah, it's just my name, SHAZ Sierra Hotel Alpha Zulu at AsianPilots.org. Feel free to email me there. Anything you guys might need, I will respond as soon as I can.
Thank you, Shaz. I look forward to seeing you in Minneapolis. For those of you who need to get a hold of me or Matt, hey guys at thepilotnetwork.com, all the socials, you can go to the website, thepilotnetwork.com. Go from there. We've got some new affiliate links on there. Check them out. I'm not going to drop names yet. You can go take a look and see what we've got cooked up. There's some good discounts on there for y'all. And as always, keep the shiny side up and the greasy side down. Fly safe, everybody.